Welcome to Mad Coast Radio, diligent dialogue, dismantling crazy, one conversation at a time. Join me, your host, Susie DeKnight, as we explore all things mental and behavioral health related. Welcome to Mad Coast Radio. My guest today is Marco Davis. Marco is a licensed massage therapist, chef, educator, and artist. He is the heart behind Daylight Comes and the genius behind Dragolution, Astoria's local celebrity drag queen and the show she produces with her family and friends. Marco and Daylight are Astoria born and bred. After high school, Marco followed his dreams, which led him to Portland, Eugene, and even New York City. Along the way, Marco picked up a master in fine arts in dance, where he studied the role of masculinity in dance and dance education. Today, you can find Marco at the Late Skate and Party in the Mezzanine, a monthly Q Center sponsored event. Marco is the chair for the Lower Columbia Q Center Steering Committee. They are currently recruiting for the recently formed LCQC Choir. They meet Tuesdays, 7 p.m. at Kala. Marco throws dance parties and even teaches tap dance at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. I asked Marco to join me today on Mad Coast Radio to talk about love, especially self-love, how his art and community work is an expression of that love, and how this most powerful emotion has helped him in the face of serious challenge. This is the love episode. It's the love month. And there's really no one I know in our big old community who spreads love unconditionally like Marco Davis. Yes, Valentine's Day is coming, and whether you believe it's an overrated Hallmark holiday or you annoy yourself with your own recognizable, socially constructed romanticism, there is no denying the power of what we humans call love. We know from Harry Harlow's studies with monkeys and the often tragic impact of attachment disorders that love, bonding, and attachment is on par with air and water when it comes to human survival. We simply cannot live without love. Thank you for joining me, your host, Susie DeKnight, on Mad Coast Radio. My guest today is Marco Davis. We are talking about love and the many ways one amazing man manifests love for his entire community and beyond. Welcome to Mad Coast Radio, Marco Davis.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Pretty fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Marco, tell me, how do you define love?
I don't define love because it changes all the time for me. And I found it goes along with my rule for expectations, where I've just gotten rid of them because they seem to always get in the way. So I found that maybe by defining love, it makes it too narrow in so many ways. So I've taken that aspect away. So I just look at love as how it is. And with every moment, it's different, you know? I see it from watching a leaf fall from a tree, or the way that the clouds look over the river, or the way the boats shift on the river, the way that the crows meet in the tree at the Flavel House Museum, the looks in my friend's eyes, the hugs I get every day. Love is love, and it's always all around us.
I love that. I love that you don't define it. There's no definition for it. You know it when you see it and when you feel it. And how interesting that it comes from someone that I personally have experienced a lot of love with. And as I said, see as someone in our community who really, through everything you do, expresses unconditional love and even teaches others what that looks like and how that is. Can you talk about the work you do in and for the community and how that work is a manifestation of love as you experience it, not define it?
Okay, well, sure. It's so funny to call it work because it's really so much fun, everything that I get to do, and it's mostly all volunteer work. I do it because this place, those of us that live here know the feeling that you have, like to know that you belong someplace, that you can kind of feel it in that deep core of your being. There's like that heartbeat that lets you know that you are where you need to be. Like, you can feel it. I mean, when I walk out the front door in the morning, I just feel, I'm like, okay, this is where I need to be. I'm with my people. And it just feels so good. Growing up here, I come from an amazingly loving family and a very strong Catholic upbringing at St. Mary's here. And so I was always surrounded by love, but it was that love of the church and everything. And in so many ways of that, I was taught so much fear of love, especially the love that I felt in my heart that I was taught I couldn't have, you know, as a child and stuff. And so coming back as an adult and realizing that I needed to love Astoria the way that it loved me, but I wasn't able to love it in return because I had so much fear in my heart of, like, especially my late teen years and early 20 years here. You know, Astoria hasn't always been this hip, fun place that we have before us now. And I mean, I was hate crimed in high school, and, you know, getting beat up is a normal thing. And so when you are faced with having to kind of wander around with that fear, I think it's wonderful that you asked me here on self-love, because I had to learn to love myself because I was always too afraid to be myself in town, and I always had to have, like, people with me because I couldn't. I for probably 10 years from 1987 to 97, I couldn't walk anywhere alone by myself after being chased down and attacked up on the top of Niagara and 8th. It was just like, I couldn't, like, loud trucks. I would, like, almost, you know, soil myself because it would make me so nervous. And so finding love has been my journey.
What you describe is what us in the mental health world would call a hyperstartle reflex that happens for a lot of people after experiencing a traumatic event. And for our listeners who might not know, do you want to talk at all about why you were hate crimed in high school, or what made you vulnerable to those attacks?
Oh, well, because I've always walked in my own light, and people were uncomfortable with that. And I was accused. I didn't come out until I was 21. And so deny. And so all through high school, people were basically aggressively telling me what I was denying in my heart, you know, fag or queer. It was a lot more of a redneck town back then. And so people didn't hesitate to shove you into lockers or push you downstairs or spit on you in assemblies. And it just becomes common course, and which is terrible. I mean, why should we ever become used to being abused, you know? And so that was the thing that I had to learn. I think that the first time I really learned it was doing group therapy with my brother in New York at Friends Indeed, and which recently closed this year, which is such a sad thing for New York City, because that organization was just incredible. The group leader, Sal, had this thing that she told us, that the only way we can overcome fear is to turn around and face it and greet it as a friend and welcome it in. And I never, it struck a chord with me when we were in there, and I've just been kind of digesting it for years and years. And it is so true. Like, the second we can stop being afraid and just, like, face these things, we can free ourselves. But it's a difficult thing to do. And the other Oprah aha moment was like having that realization of facing my fears and such. And then I'm standing in the ocean one day. I'd, like, crawled over the dunes. I was having, like, this nerve flare up in both of my legs and just, like, in so much pain, and just the cold water of the ocean was the only thing that made me feel better. And just standing there and, like, hating my life and hating having to suffer. It was like a gray day, and that one moment where the sun just comes through the clouds, you know, and it's just, like, warming me as I'm standing shivering in the ocean. And I just have this, like, thread of consciousness that tells me that, how can I expect my body to carry me through if I'm filling it with hatred all the time? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, you know? And so I've had to stop hating myself. And, you know, and so, and when you hear people saying hatred to you all the time, it kind of becomes like that loop that you have. And so you have your own hate things and you have your family hate things and then the public hate things. And so that's a lot to face. And so by just, I just had to let go of it. And they're not my, it can't be my hatred. And so I just, from that moment on, resigned myself to the fact that I just have to love, you know, and I have to love myself first. And, you know, when I'm having moments of pain and stuff, I can't hate the moment, but we have to just be in that moment and understand why it is that we are here, you know. And oftentimes it's that we are going too fast and that we need to slow down and that we need to take time for ourselves. And that's the one thing that we aren't trained to do. And it's the most important thing that we can do. And, you know, self-care, self-love is the essential nectar that we need to exist. So that's kind of been my mission. And Dragolution is a lot of that mission. It's finding that love for ourselves in our inside that we are afraid to share with people, and to kind of take that moment and to find that courage to express it. And to not apologize.
Yes. So there's so much there that is so well said. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, kind of what you're talking about is the power of, you know, messaging, outside messaging and internal messaging. And you found a way to break free from that, which I often am telling people, whether in the classes I teach or in the community, that self-dialogue, the things that you say to yourself, it's not just a woo-woo myth anymore. We have neuroscience to back it up, that how we talk to ourselves impacts how we manifest our life in the world. Learning to let go of self-hate and learning how to filter out the messaging that you get from outside sources is essential in being able to be free to express yourself in the way that feels right for you.
There are two things that I kind of have been working on, and I'm developing it in a conscious thought, and I've been like making notes on it because I think there's something in this journey for myself. But the more I talk about it with friends and stuff, the more other people are like, oh, that makes so much sense, you know? So, I mean, and I think that the key is for us to communicate with each other, you know? We are just always taught to internalize everything, and the more we shove it down, the, you know, we still have to go through it when we put it back up. So why not, you know, deal with it when it comes up instead of suppressing things, you know? And so I have this thing, and I call it the prism theory. It's one of those things where I'm interacting with people, and if perhaps, like, you and I or maybe having an awkward moment or like there's something going on, I'm like, God, I'm just, why are you just bugging the crap out of me right now, you know? And I instead of going to that place, I'm like, okay, what is it about this person or this interaction that is within myself that I have issue with? Like, how can I learn from this situation and not turn it into like this negative thing, but something that I can actually learn from? Because, I mean, why not? I don't want to walk around. It's like my mom always said, yeah, you always are walking around with this chip on your shoulder, you know? And a lot of ways, that chip was my kind of deterrent, like to keep people distant, like because I didn't want people to see the trueness of my being, you know? And so you push people away and you keep them distant, you know? And it was at that New Year's Eve show at the end of singing That My Way for my mom when she got up. I mean, that for me was the breaking point in a lot of my therapy, you know, to have unconditional love from your mom.
Yes. And what you're talking about is the New Year's Eve, this last New Year's Eve, I got to participate, which I was so grateful and honored to be a part of that tap dancing on stage in New Year's Eve Dragolution show. And at the end of that show, you sang the song, I Did It My Way, and you sang it as Marco,
right?
Not as Daylight. And at the end of that, your mom came up to the stage and hugged you and publicly in front of, you know, a filled house.
Yeah.
You know, loved you and gave back to you what you so freely give to the community through Dragalution. A couple times a year, drag shows that involve the community, whether people have experience dancing or singing or none at all, you open it up for people to come and be a part of this really loving performance experience. You're listening to Mad Coast Radio. I'm your host, Susie DeKnight, KMUN Astoria, KCTB Tillamook. My guest today is Marco Davis. Marco, I want to jump ahead to another question I have. You know, so much of the work in the field of mental health is around change, identifying changes that need to be made, making those changes, and figuring out how to sustain that change. You, I know through our friendship and conversations, have been forced to make some changes in response to health concerns in the last year or so, kinds of changes that a lot of people struggle with. Can you talk about those changes, how they've affected your work and play?
Absolutely. So the big thing that rocked my world this year was dealing with my issue with gout that I got from some severe dehydration back in 2002 is when it got triggered, apparently. I have just been managing it through the diet and through trial and error, narrowing things out of my diet to figure out, you know, how can I be sustained? And it's hard for me. Like, I have been working at the Colombian Cafe for 23 years and kind of being in the food service industry and loving to cook food and celebrating the joy of sharing meals and stuff has always been very decadent for me. And it's not something that my body appreciates or does well with. So listening to those signs has been a really important lesson for me, because so often we just want to not have to pay attention. It's like, oh yeah, it'll go away, you know, or I'll take a pill and it'll be fine. And the medications actually didn't work for me. So I was like, I'm going to do this just the old-fashioned way and just figure it out through diet. And really everything can be boiled down to diet in so many ways. If we start taking right care of ourselves from what we put in our bodies, we'll be getting out so many better rewards. And so I've just really had to struggle with that and figure out how to, and it, I mean, it's another thing of definitions, you know, and the expectations that I had for myself of what I thought defined who Marco is, you know. And it doesn't involve going out for cocktails all the time anymore, or eating filet mignon or having pork confit or whatever it's going to be, or something amazing, least spicy and cheese covered, you know. It's
and delicious.
Yes, and delicious. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's really taking it more simply and just eating the foods that I need to sustain myself. And just coming to that point where I realized that I'm worth this work. You know, this is my body and it's carrying me through this life. And why not give it the best means to carry me through? You know, why should I keep holding it back by eating all the candy that I love to eat? Or, you know, why?
A lot of people might say, yeah, that's a great idea, but putting that into practice isn't so easy, especially when you're talking about something like love and caring for yourself. A lot of us use food or have been trained to use food as a way to love ourselves or to feel or not feel things through eating foods that taste good and make us feel happy. Oftentimes those foods are processed or not necessarily the healthiest foods for us, or even can cause serious problems. And yet people across this country and in our community right here in Clatsop County struggle to make the necessary changes that would allow them to feel healthy. And that's why we have an out of control diabetes problem and an out of control obesity problem in children all the way up through adulthood. What do you think is different for you that you're able to make those changes? Because that is part of why I was really curious about how you did that, because, you know, I work in mental health and we really try to work around change and helping, you know, helping people on their path. And it's always interesting to me when I meet someone who's like, well, I needed to do this for my health, and so I did it.
Yeah.
Not everyone finds it that easy. What do you think is different?
I don't know. It's not easy, but I committed to myself. I'm in a committed relationship with myself.
I love that.
You know, but and so I'm not going to, I don't want to cheat on myself. I don't want to, you know, have an affair with a cheeseburger or some Sour Patch Kids, you know. I want to be honest to this vessel. And so I'm doing my damnedest to stay to it. And it has turned out so fun, and especially since I do a weekly food blog with AstoriaRain.com, and all of my food blogs are on like cooking for the individual or two people under 20-minute meals that are designed to be, it's pretty much an anti-inflammatory diet. All the meals are gluten-free, and I've been opening it up to friends, and I've been having friends invite me over to their homes, and we'll like make a meal together and get to share time, but do something healthy, you know. And or I've started going on more hikes with people, or meeting to go on walks on the waterfront, you know, finding ways to socialize without necessarily having to go out for a meal. You know, we're just so programmed to go out for happy hour. I mean, God, I miss it so much, but at the same time, I'm so much happier and so much more free in a lot of ways. And it's neat to see the friends that are stepping up and want to like interact in other ways. And I think that's what's really fun about having our late skates and party in the mezzanine, is because it is an alternate way to get to hang out with people, you know. And skating is just so freeing. It's like flying. And
do you want to talk a little bit about that you're doing with the Q Center, and how that, you know, kind of intersecting with the other things that you're working
on?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's see how everything just kind of intersects together. And you think of it as the kind of the spider web of your life. And spider webs are said to be the beginning of communication and symbols and language. So it's really like seeing how everything intersects that way is just a beautiful thing. And I was excited when Tessa asked me to come start going to the steering committee meetings for the Q Center. And we just kind of were working to have a place so that we have means for people to gather for resources and for community involvement and outreach and education. This week we're starting our youth group that's going to be meeting every other Thursday, you know, which is really exciting. And we're doing the monthly skate nights at the Armory. But we're also volunteers at the Armory as part of our exchange for being in the place. So we're there almost every weekend for skate nights, too. So it's really like that community center is so great. Robin has been incredible for bringing us in there. And it's like increasing our heartbeat, you know, because we're like getting to spread out and not be as confined, and getting to just continue to grow with people by getting to be ourselves and letting people see that, you know, gays aren't frightening, scary people, and, you know, that we aren't on a mission to recruit. And although we are looking for people to sing with us, but, you know, you don't have to be gay.
I love this. The Q Center, for those who may not know, is our local LGBTQQ2S community effort to bring not only visibility, but opportunity for shared experiences and, like you said, resources. Also for some role modeling, right? Like you said that the youth group is starting this week. And so now if there are youth in the community who are exploring their gender or sexuality and their identity around those things, they can attend this group and get support and be able to explore that in a safe space, unlike,
yeah,
you know,
and
hopefully
it's
avoid.
Designed also to be just like a hangout time too, you know, like to have these kids be able to come and just get a hangout and
And be able to avoid sort of the experiences that you had at 8th and Niagara and with the bullying and the frequent hate crimes, and that, you know, as an effort to sort of change that so that you don't, other youth don't have to go through what you went through.
Exactly.
It's very powerful.
It is. It's so moving. I mean, when we had our youth seat filled on the steering committee, you know. It was just like, it was overwhelming for all of us. And it was just, it was so beautiful. I mean, I wish that I would have been that strong when I was in high school, you know. But then again, my path would have led me probably in a different place than where I am now, you know. So who knows what would have happened. My life has been perfect. It's just one of those things, you can't lament the pain, because we suffer. That's a part of life, you know, and it's okay. And the thing to remember is that that is one thing that we all have in common, is that there is some form of like pain or suffering that everyone goes through, you know. And by recognizing that and just approaching each other with a little bit more kindness, maybe instead of bristling, it, I think, makes for a better world.
Yes. The struggle. Mm-hmm. We all struggle.
We all struggle.
And, you know, I say this all the time. It's so hard when you're going through it. But then when you are in the position, when you're outside the other end and you look back, oftentimes for many of us, we can't change a thing, because we wouldn't be where we're at.
You know?
We're coming to the end of our program.
Oh my
I feel
gosh.
Like you and I could talk
I know,
forever.
Seriously.
We're just getting started. Can you tell the listening audience one or two things that you do to take care of your mental, emotional, and behavioral health and wellness?
Yes. I go to the beach at least 3 times a week, or I go to walk in the woods and stuff. I just like to get out in nature, you know.
Nature.
And I just really try to keep the guard down and walk with my heart open, you know, and take the hugs every chance I get, you know. I mean, that's, I think love really is what makes the world go round, you know.
Mm. Marco, thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Coming here and talking to me for my Valentine's Day episode.
I'm so honored.
Episode. My guest has been Marco Davis. This is your host, Susie, tonight on Mad Coast Radio. To reach Marco for body work, you can call him at 541-654-2412. That's 541-654-2412. To learn more about the magic he's making with healthy food, check out his column at AstoriaRain.com. That's AstoriaRain.com. And find out more about the Lower Columbia Q Center, their events and resources at their Facebook page. To stay up to date with Daylight, check out her blog at DaylightComes.com. That's DaylightComes.com. Please join me in sending out love vibes to all those who still suffer. You are not alone. Veterans, we see you, we support you. Getting help is an act of courage. Whoever you are, whatever your struggle, you can call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you and be well, and tune in next time, February 16th at 9 a.m. for more Mad Coast Radio every first and third Tuesday with your host, Susie DeKnight, on Coast Community Radio.